This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, everyone, we're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You guys in the back, feel free to filter in, get food, and find your seats. But it's now 5:33, so I'll go ahead and call this meeting of the GPSA to order. First on our agenda will be a roll call for the voting members, starting with Social Sciences, Jeffrey Bergfoss. Is not here. The other three members are here. Humanities, Jesse Goldberg.
Here.
Christy Schlaroff.
Here.
Christine Yao.
She's not
here. Yeah. For the Social Sciences, Paul, unfortunately, has informed me that he'll be stepping down as a voting member, so we will be hosting an election at our next meeting to choose a new voting member for the Social Sciences. William Mickelson?
Here.
Todd Snyder?
Here.
Lynn?
Here.
For the professional schools, John?
Here.
Alexander?
Here.
Biological sciences, Cora?
Here.
Anne informed me she won't be here, Ian?
Here.
And master's students, Ashley? And Erwin? All right. We do have quorum. Next will be the approval of the minutes from our last meeting. There was one correction to attendance. There was a voting member who showed up a little bit late, and so that change has been made. Are there any other corrections to the minutes? Yes.
I'd like to add an
ad.
I'm sure
the
communication
concerns. Let's see. Third page. Where on the third page?
First big paragraph says the end writers, and depending on what you can do, you can use that.
Okay. All right. So, are there any further corrections to the minutes? Is there a motion to approve the minutes? So, I'm sorry, what was the thing you looked at? Yeah.
For the breakout session?
Uh-huh.
For the discussion on civility and free speech, that email received that email support because of the fire and the Twitter comments that were
made. Okay. So essentially Christine's comments on the open... Okay. So okay, we could all right, we'll add in a sentence to summarize Christine's point about why President Scott may have felt compelled to issue his op-ed. Are there any further corrections to the minutes? Is there a motion to approve the minutes as corrected?
So moved.
We'll approve the minutes by unanimous consent. Are there any opposed? All right. With no opposition, the motion passes, and the minutes are approved as corrected. So, we'll now move straight into presentations. First up, we have with us today the Dean of Students, Kent Hubbell. So I'll turn it over to him.
Thanks, Richard. So you may have wondered who that administrator-looking person sitting in the back of the room is. Well, it's me, the Dean of Students. And I'm actually a faculty member of architecture, but over the last decade or so, I've served as faculty member of students. And you might wonder what a Dean of Students does. Well, essentially, trustees or the administration talk about students, and I also spend time with students trying to articulate, you know, the position the administration might have on particularly one topic or another. So that's essentially my role, but in addition to that, there are a number of offices that are part of the union students that really support students, all students outside the class. And that means both undergraduate and graduate students. It begins with Cornell and Ivy Business Works, where there are 30 faculty that support our series of committees. They exist both for faculty, staff, and students. They're available to the whole community. That's why the Dean of Students is not just about students. Then we have Greek Life at the other end of the spectrum. And so you go from piety to party, all of these things. But, you know, Greek Life at Cornell involves about 30% of undergraduates. Some of you may have agreed with undergraduates when they've just taken out in Greek Life. It is a very active social environment, lots of things to concern ourselves with. It's been known for people to say that we can't live with them and we can't live without them, since they house a large number of our students and they become a nexus for social life. They do have an important role, not least as a way for students to break down the strictly anonymous university into small residential communities. So they have value, although they do from time to time run a merit case, I would say. So, can we have a student activity? Student leadership engagement and community activities, Slack as it's called. And they look after all the various organizations that are on campus. They're the people who put on the events on the campus, including another school day. They look after the program boards, graduate professional student program board among them. So some of you may have ongoing relationships with some of the advising staff in that group. Then we have the Office of Student Community Support, which is a group of staff that really are there to look after the health and wellness needs of our student community. So some of you may know about Cornell Minds Matters, or EARS, which is a peer counseling arrangement that is available to all students on campus. The Women's Resource Center is there as well, and very actively involved in all the issues that relate to managing and advocating for women's issues, and not least the prevention of sexual misconduct and violence on campus. That group is very busy right now, trying to put together programs that educate and prevent sexual violence on campus and conform to the new mandates that are coming from the federal government and from our own policies that have changed. So then we have the International Students and Scholars Office. Brendan O'Brien is the director of that. It's a group of about 9 people who are both all about compliance for faculty, visiting scholars and students, but also have a number of student affairs roles with regard to international students. Some of you may have already had contact with them. They're a terrific group and very supportive, and likewise have a role not unlike mine as far as they advocate for international students. Then we have the Center for Intercultural Dialogue, which is 626 Thurston Avenue, just across the Thurston Avenue Bridge. And there are 3 associate deans to look after the Asian American Student Center, the LGBT Resource Center, and then Student Diversity and Development Initiative. That's Renee Alexander for that group, Sophie Sadu, and Brian Petrovsky for the LGBT Resource Center. They are very, very busy creating programs and finding ways and means to bring students across together across campus. So you may have been involved in some of them have these wonderful small group sessions called Breaking Bread, where they bring in people from really different backgrounds and they sit and have conversations. So it's also the seat for a number of the courses that are taught around diversity through the Office of Academic Diversity Initiative. Then we have on North Campus, we have what's called RNSP, Residential and New Student Program. It's all the housing on North Campus, along with the TASCOM Center, which is a center that's there to function as a threshold or a platform or a gateway for the larger university for first-year students. When it comes to graduate student involvement, of course, we connect with Jan and Jana and Barb Newt on a regular basis. Jana LeMay actually has a partial appointment in the Office of Student Community Support.
So we work hard to support all students, and we welcome you in any of the programs that we support. As far as the GPSA is concerned, I've advised them now for quite a few years, and Nicole and I are old buds, and I'm really impressed with how the GPSA has come to have a greater and more important role than ever when it comes to advocating and supporting the graduate student community on campus. You know, the GPSA has produced the GPCI and then the GCI before, so two major strategic planning documents that really have guided the administration in the most authentic way when it comes to concerns that graduate students have. So I tend to stay out of the way. I think an advisor of representative student government should not be too much underfoot. So I'm happy to help, and I meet with Richard regularly, and anything I can do to be supportive of your organization. But at the same time, it's for you to decide, not for me to influence even the work that you do. So you can expect me to be here as often as I can, sitting in the back row there, trying to follow sometimes complicated conversations at a distance. So if you're interested in talking more, I'd be happy to have lunch with you. My office right over the front door of the Strait, and my door's open to drop by. My assistant, Christine Forster, can certainly make an appointment to get together for lunch if you're still on call. So with that, thanks for all you do. I really do believe you make an enormous difference on our campus.
Thank you, Dean Hubbell. So next up on our presentations, we'll have one of our University Sunday representatives, Teja, talk to us about TCAP and what is currently going on with the UA's work with TCAP and how that kind of ties in with President Scorton's recent announcements.
Hi, I'm Teja. So I'm the GPSA Interim Representative of the UA. I'm on the CIC, which is the Campus Infrastructure Committee. And within that, we take care of things like TCAT, other infrastructure projects like Sustainable Initiative. Those are the activities we call for today. As a part of the committee, I've been tasked with trying to solve the TCAT problem. And so it's interesting because there are a lot of stakeholders, and you get everyone onto the right bus at the same time. So I feel like I'm not done. So it was a bit of a learning curve. I've been, I guess, thinking about working on for just about a month now. So, and most of the information that was available to me is actually easily available to everyone. Just use TCAT, Cornell Sun, and I think you'll get every single article that's out there. It's good though that you're not yet at a point that I get my news from the newspaper. I do get a little bit of information before it goes to the newspaper. I'll try to summarize today for you roughly what the situation is and what the way forward is. But just to give an overview, so TCAT effectively is operates on a budget that's given by like the state, the city, the county, Cornell, and then there's the fairs, which includes like the bulk accounts of fairs, the payments that Cornell gives it, and then there's a small central grant. That's effectively TCAT's operating budget. It was about $12.7 million in 2013. The university pays about like $2.6 million as a bulk fare. So every time you purchase a car, that's effectively part of that bulk fare that goes to the TCAT. That roughly comes out to, in recent years, about 86 cents a ride, but TCAT break even is like $1 a ride. Okay, so that's a 14 cent shortfall. And effectively, the TCAT board passes the resolution at the university to come back to the $1 a ride funding level from as it was before. So the reason it went down 86 cents a ride is because the freshman ridership and Cornell ridership in general has gone up. And the university has not matched that scholarship increase with funds from the university budget. So, TCAT admits that this year they'll have about $740,000 of shortfall in their budget. And they were hoping that if Cornell raises to meet a dollar a rise, that they would cut that deficit to down to a dollar. So, a bit of history here. The UA, and I think this too, and the SA adopted a resolution saying that we should increase it to $500,000, which would effectively match that 14% increase. While initially the administration refused to increase funding, I think after reconsideration, they decided to go ahead and increase it. So, and I know there's a lot of discussion trying to cut taxes as an option, but I don't think that is going to happen. So recently, in a letter written to the treasurer of TCAT, Justice Corson said that Cornell will increase in actually 2016, so next year, the annual payment by $250,000, and then an additional $125,000 in financial year 17, and an additional $125,000 in financial year 18. So $500,000 that the UA and the SA asked for will get to TCAT, but it's about 3 years from now. But actually, right now, Cornell is willing to pay half their credit in financial year 16. And I quote here, annual payments beyond financial year 18 will be established in accordance with the MOU we intend to develop with TCAT. So, that was basically good news. They don't have to lay off anything, they don't have to stop lying. Fares might not go up. But then there's also language that basically suggests that Cornell hasn't found those $257 yet in its own budget. So, I guess to meet that need, the president has set up a transportation task force, which includes students from the assemblies, students who live on campus, students who live off campus, few staff, and to set up a transportation task force, and I quote here, the task force charge would be to address the long-term funding issues and look for solutions to create a sustainable funding model, considering both the level of the university payment and the cost of student loans. So that's actually pretty broad language that suggests that either the fares could go up or the price that you could pay for your car could go up, and that the university itself will consider where it's going to bring in that additional money. So the task force meets on November 1st. And then I think we're going to get started at the coffee meeting, December 1st, the coffee meeting. And that's where the issues will get drawn up. That's what I have. Thank you.
As far as where that money would come from, it's really the only suggestion that's come so far increasing the amount that cost or putting on the fares.
We have not discussed that at all. All that discussion on the June will happen in the transportation task force. There's actually one other issue, is that it's not directly to TCAT itself, but other issues surrounding, because you brought up decision making, I just thought I'd add it here. So all the responsible parties, like whose job to look at TCAT directives, etc., did not even know the MOU was happening or to consider till it was actually discussed and already out. So for the longest period of time, all the subcommittees, how to fund TCAT in the future, did not know the negotiations were happening. So we were absolutely told that there would be no fair season, or Cornell would not pay anything extra. And then one day, that was it.
We discussed it, and now we're going to say happy to more. So,
I think I'm hoping that task force will make more than sponsors can be.
Or not.
not as far as I know. Not yet. I don't think there. I mean, I don't. Well, even if it is, it hasn't been explicitly said that it is feasible. But I mean, most of the suggestions were being more effective transportation lines. If you consider it, I think some of the busiest lines that we get on, I would have that against them. I mean, 60% of all lines go through Cornell. So if there were a few cuts.
You mentioned that there was a possibility of, say, making the registration fee for a car. How did that happen?
I did not say that, no, but I do not know that car that is happening. I'll know when it comes to that. Did I say car?
I mean, what you said was.
No, so the pass. Like, for example, the pass you buy for your T-catch ride, for your omnibus ride, you pay a fixed amount. It's likely that that's what, I mean, I'm guessing the language suggests that the price of that car is also on the table. So all options are open on how to make TCAM on the table.
To the best of your knowledge, and this might be not at all, when the original, like, cipher, you know, a payment of Cornell to TCAM on behalf of the subsidy was established, was it just, like, $50,000 period, or by whatever the amount is, or was it, was Cornell aware that it was like anchored to this $1 per ride?
I think it was anchored to that $1 per ride. I think that's been like the break-even cost, and surprisingly that hasn't changed. Mostly, and here's what I'm guessing, is because if you look at a lot of reports, they had a lot of wage freezes in order to deal with the recession and whatever. So those wage freezes, plus the relatively stable value of price of gas over the last 4 years, has I think contributed to keeping that at a dollar. But I think their rides went up by 1.6 million. So, I mean, it's important to point out that TCAT has probably won more awards than any other transportation network for their size. And they've been doing so well that now they've gone from the small category to the mid-sized category, which is longer than that. And for a county of 100,000 residents, the network is pretty solid. So that being said, it's not going to be obviously. And I would expect the budget shortfall will only get worse because 4 years of wage hike increase is a bit much. So I'm assuming that the contracts with the drivers come up soon, and that might cause more budget shortfall. I'm not, however, sure how they meet the budget shortfall because more
is
not
done. Is there anywhere somewhere online that we can get pricing data on like specific lines, specific times, stuff like that?
No, that's not actually not available. That they have general overall ridership lines, but like in a general percentage of how much the total ridership went up. But specific data exactly on what and how is not available to the general public. I've been promised with that information in the task force. And I think the old member in the UN, the previous member in the UN, which is responsible for TCAT, had some access to that data. That's basically how they came up with this $5,000 number. But I don't know if they have line specific ridership information.
Okay,
do you know how long TCAT has been operating in the state and if they've been using auditing to show how it's moving funding?
What may
alter the situation? Yeah, that's a fairly complex issue, because the auditing of TCAT is not available.
Okay.
The data on that auditing, how they're doing, what they're doing. I mean, there's a little bit of a negative perception because, I think recently they accused one of their, of their embezzlement of $400 million or something. So, which would be a short term, so based on what I know, which is in the public domain, is that they're putting in a lot of effort to not just like buy new buses and make fancy things, but they're putting in a lot of effort into trying to bring up their maintenance level and to do that really well so that all their buses are always easily approved, there are no obvious issues and things like that. So, and they have to balance all of that with the cost of, we're trying to be sustainable in the, like for the environment, like they're trying to get hybrid vehicles and those are expensive. Usually like the bus payment, at least the bus data is like 20 years or something. So they buy a bus now, which is maybe easily an extra for them to be hybrid. It would take 20 years before it's worth, it comes back. So, I think the suggestion is that, so business court also said that CCA should look elsewhere to basically fund the gap. And they're suggesting federal grants or state grants to meet that shortage.
Sort of a
line
from the community, but I'm sure that one of the big issues with like maintenance and the license is the quality of the roads in various locations. And I'm curious if there's at all some conversations about, you know, the fact that maybe like sewers.
It's
not in
a great
shape, and a lot of buses go down that route. Like, you know, how those
things
might relate to each other.
To be entirely honest with you, there hasn't been much conversation at all. If there was some conversation, maybe those would have come up as an obvious reason for why they could have that. At least a month and a half that I've been handling the portfolio, so I should say, there's been minimal conversation about what is happening there. I'm hoping that task force is not just all the people who make it, please sit on this side. All the people who make decisions, please sit on this side. We'll do the decisions and you guys get to watch. I hope it's not that.
Okay, there's no further questions. Thanks, Teja, for okay. So with that, we will move in then to reports of officers and committee updates. From the executive committee, the only update I have is that we met with President Thornton at his office hour. It was a fairly interesting discussion. TCAT was among the issues that came up, which Teja summarized for us quite well. President Thornton also expressed interest in us trying to communicate more with our Weill Cornell counterparts, because there are some organizations certainly like that at Weill Cornell that we could try and interface with and see how we could learn from each other. Aside from that, I will be attending the Ivy Summit this upcoming weekend to network with the other Ivies. There is still space if someone would like to accompany me to the Ivy Summit, and would at this point be difficult to get a second hotel room, so if you're willing to share a phone with me, then there is still space. Please let me know soon, however, if you do intend on attending.
What would be the cost of attendance?
The cost of attendance at this point, I don't think there would be any. We have already funded for the hotel room, so it would be almost free. There's food provided at the summit for most of the events. Maybe food on the way there. Be about it. So with that, I guess, Kevin, do you have any? No, okay. We'll go into operations and staffing, which there's actually its own.
So last week this was really well trying to fill some of the open positions, so we're doing the same thing again. As always, there's a lot of committees that still need filling. You can go online at the bottom, committees.cornellgcsa.com, to read more about the committees and see if any of them are of interest to you. And then you can email me, and I can try to hook you up with the right person to get started with that committee. Today I'm going to talk about the committees in yellow. I'm going to advertise and try to fill them on spot with voting members here, since we have quorum. About the Library Advisory Council, a few people were interested in that last time. I have reached out. I'm waiting for a response from the chair of that committee. So we've been hearing from the Big Red Barn. They want graduate students, and I want 3 or 4 graduate students. This is probably a really fun committee to be on, because you get to determine the food and events held at the Big Red Barn and have a big say in what goes on there. I think they're a pretty active community, but committee, but not a huge time commitment at the same time. I think it'd be fun. Is anyone interested right now in joining the Big Red Barn Advisory Committee?
Can I make a quick plug?
Yeah.
I don't want to join. I've already done one, but I had a hand in creating the committee, so I have some faith in this. But basically, the advisory committee talks about things like, are we happy with the food service at the barn? Are we happy with the programming? You know, are there different things that we would want to see take place in that space? And there is, as I understand, a survey underway. Right now, to talk about the food service environment in particular, which has been something that I've been very interested in over the years. Basically, I only feel like the Baird Barn belongs to graduate students after 2 p.m. When Cornell Dining is not providing the food service. I don't know, if, you know how many of you guys like go to lunch regularly at the Baird Barn? Yeah, exactly. And if you go, it's packed with undergrads for the majority of the day. And so that's something that has been something that I've felt kind of strongly about, which is about community space. We should think about ways to make it a space that we want to be in. That's shared to our needs and communities. So I would encourage you guys to take part in the committee.
Nicole, would you ask the question, if the undergraduates weren't there at lunch, would you go into the Big Red Barn? Ask that question.
Okay. Well, okay. So there's a two-parter to that question, which is, if the undergraduates aren't there, would you go? And, you know, to what extent does the choice of food that is available there also impact that decision? And that's sort of the, what I puzzled over, I guess.
And those questions are on the survey when it goes back.
Yeah, so, right. I'm just curious. So, okay, if undergrads weren't there, would you guys go?
Advisory committee. If you're passionate about the Big Red Barn, it might see changes.
Would anyone be interested in joining this committee today?
Okay.
Not that passionate yet, but. How do you call a vote? I forget.
All right. Is there a motion to elect? Sorry,
I have a motion to elect Marianne to the Big Red Barn Advisory Committee.
Second. So we will elect her by unanimous consent. Are there any opposed? All right. Seeing none, congratulations. We're now on the Big Red Barn Advisory Committee.
See me after the meeting, and I'll get you information, put you in contact with who you need to. And for those who might be interested or just change mind later, there are still 2 to 3 positions open there, so feel free to email me if you think about this and decide it's something you want to do. on the topic of food through the Student Assembly. The Student Assembly is our student government counterpart in the undergraduate school, but we have a lot of interaction with them through different committees, and one of those committees is the Dining Committee. So this kind of oversees all the other dining services on campus and affects the budgets and policies there. Is anyone interested in interfacing with the SA in terms of dining and would like to be elected to this position today? Okay. If you change your mind, my email is at the bottom. Or if you know anyone that would be good, please send them my way, too. Another one that's on the topic of TCAT, which we were speaking of earlier, there's the Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board. Well, I guess it's not TCAT. It's more so parking tickets. So when you get a parking ticket, you're angry, you want to fight it, you submit an appeal. Commuter and Parking Services will say yes or no, and then this board will decide whether their decision was valid. So you have a lot of say in what's right and what's wrong. So it's a good student sector of this. Is anyone interested in joining the Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board? Yeah, you want to get out of those parking tickets, don't you? all right. I motion to elect Alex to the Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board.
All right. By unanimous consent, are there any opposed? Seeing none, we are now elected to the Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board. And please, all those people who are selected to these committees, make sure that you get names and net IDs to Andreas so that we can officially put you into the system.
One more. Okay, and last week we elected a lot of people to the UA, the different committees there, but there's still one more position open for the Campus Welfare Committee. So this one, again, does a lot of diversity and family issues. If anyone has had more time to think about this and would at this point like to join the Campus Welfare Committee.
Cora, would you like to say anything about this? I think this is your committee on the UA.
Is anyone interested? Okay, is anyone else? Okay, what's your name? Moselle. Okay. I motion to elect Moselle to the Campus Welfare Committee.
All right. We will elect by unanimous consent. Are there any opposed? Seeing none, congratulations on your election to the Campus Welfare Committee. And I think this means you have fulfilled our UA commitment.
I think so.
Yes. Excellent. Jim will stop yelling at me.
And then, as always, we have internal committees with the GPSA that are headed by other people in this very room, and if you are interested in joining those committees, please contact the respective head of that committee. And that is all I have.
All right. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you for that presentation. Okay. So, moving on. Appropriations? Okay. And I suppose there will be a new appropriations chair elected at the end of the fall semester, correct? Okay. December 1st is our last scheduled meeting. Okay. Communications.
Hello, everybody. My name is John Zoll. I'm a new member of the Communications Committee. Megan has given me the opportunity to take over the Buzz, which is our monthly newsletter. This is the monthly newsletter of the GPSA. It is distributed across the campus to all graduate students and professional students. And it's an opportunity for us to actually make contact with individuals who may not even be aware of the GPSA or may not have previously been interested in participating in the GPSA. So in order to foster awareness and participation, I've come up with an initiative to draw attention of students who have not previously before been involved in the GPSA, and I'm calling it the Graduate Student Spotlight. And what I would like to do is to grab a student who's non-GPSA related and do a spotlight of them. Basically, an interview of them with a couple of pictures talking about who they are, how they got to Cornell, what their future plans are, what is their life like here. And then that way adults, they, you know, not previously been involved in GPSA, may look at the buzz when it actually opens up because they're going to be in it. And they'll show it to some of their friends. And then the next month, maybe those, them and their friends will actually pay attention to the buzz because they'll see, hey, my friend was actually spotlighted, and it was pretty cool to do this little story with a couple of pictures of them in there. And then slowly, over a few months with a few new candidates, we'll actually get more awareness of the buzz, get people to actually open it up, and then become more aware of GPSA.
Okay.
So I'm looking for field members to help recruit these anonymous individuals. I can perfectly capable of doing it myself, but if you know somebody who's somewhat outgoing and wouldn't mind being interviewed for like a half hour, get a couple pictures of them taken in their natural habitat, then you can send that information to me and I'll make contact with them and I'll set up the time to do that. And so the first issue of this will be in December. And then I'll try to do it monthly, every month after that, any student, somebody who's going to be not already involved in GPSA.
Okay. Finance Commission? So for advocacy, Paul has unfortunately stepped down as chair, and so we'll be electing a new chair for the advocacy committee at our next meeting. So keep if you're involved in the advocacy committee now, I encourage you to consider that position. It is a very important committee, and so we want to fill that position as soon as possible so that that committee's work can go uninterrupted. Is there anyone from the advocacy committee here who has any updates for the advocacy committee? All right. So moving on then, faculty awards?
No updates.
Okay. Diversity and international students.
And last item, Lisa and I also need members. So if you're interested, right now, give the decision to two of us. And we need to do a lot, but I want to make sure that everybody's involved has a chance to grow and learn about the activities you're doing. So if you're interested, please email me, ask me, or come up to me.
So thank you for that update. The chair of the programming board unfortunately cannot be here. She sent me two updates. First, they'll be having a meeting on Monday the 11th in Malotte Library Conference Room at 5:30. And second, there will be an inter-school mixer at the Bigger Barn on November 14th, which is a week from Thursday, from 7 to 10 p.m. The schools that they will be having for their school mixer are currently to be determined, but anyone is welcome to attend. So that is it for our report, the Vosters and Committee updates. We will now move into open forum. Another announcement that I forgot to make earlier was that since Paul has stepped down as a voting member, that position needs to be filled, and it is the voting members are chosen by the caucus. So essentially, the social scientist field representatives and voting members will select his replacement. I would ask that if you are a field representative from underneath the social sciences caucus, and if you are confused as to whether or not you are, you can email me and I can help send it. Yeah.
That's not correct.
See,
it's thrown out open at large. It becomes the agenda for here. So it can be voted by anybody.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You would vote, like,
okay. That is why we have a council. Okay. I was not aware of that. So, in that case, at our next meeting, we will be holding election for an at-large voting member. And that will be, since it wasn't in the minutes before this, or in the agenda before this. So, if you are currently a field representative, consider stepping up to be a voting member. The only difference is you get to vote on resolutions. That's pretty much all that separates field representatives from voting members. And there are, of course, stricter commitments on attendance rules if you are a full voting member. So, does anyone else have anything for open forum? Yes.
Yeah, I was going to plug a little bit that too, but I sent an email out today about the NABCS candidate assessment. So basically, a bunch of people on NABCS executives have a time and energy to together survey and contacting every single congressional candidate in the election tomorrow, and some of those people replied. And so you can actually find information about what candidates' views are on graduate education, which I actually think is really neat because it's a really good way to get congressional representatives thinking about what it means to support graduate education. And I'll just do that. That's it. We got one response from Martha Robertson, who's running for the New York City District, which is the district that Cornell is in. So she's going to be able to.
Yep. I just wanted to add to what I was talking about before, not specifically the TCAT, but about sustainable community. So I feel like there are some communication gaps that exist between the committees whose purview that are being fall under and the people who make those decisions and when they make decisions. I know that the part shared out is the authority is delegated to us. So I feel like there are some definite areas where there could be better communication. For example, I bring an example from the UA where I think in the area of making the affordable housing, sending out the housing survey, etc. I'm pretty sure there are multiple companies as either a form of tax welfare or just welfare who would probably want to stay so if you already have people whose purview is objective were to improve those specific things, and then we have the surveys or we have different programs which are targeted at that, and the people who are supposed to be involved earlier doesn't happen. So, and I think it might be just because of a proliferation of committees, maybe. But I'm not entirely sure of the problem. I was just hoping that as an assembly, we could get find ways of fixing that.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Okay, so we'll do Joe's answer to you on December 11th, 6 8 p.m. for me, and I'm not ready to finish. So. Wait, who definitely has a schedule conflict? Wait, but Warren, if you're for me. And
you should be aware, I think that like 7 weeks, which is just, it may not be like people have actual, you know, scheduled commitments, but a great loss of motivation to attend.
Well, your option, the week prior, you can be traveling the entire week.
Yeah.
Before that, it's safe day. You could move up, but I'm going to do the edge of life, and we're still going to that unit to that place. So I didn't take notes of the name of life, but we are going to teach you guys, and you're going to be relaxing, so I hope that motivation to stay by. Yeah. For me, too. You like the cheese, or is that that? Okay, so, but who would need more time to eat there, or can't get her to eat yet, if you want to do the whole thing? Okay, great. Just while I'm looking for any more comments on units and stuff. Question?
You mentioned diversity of students as learning diversity pathways.
Good question. I would have to pose that to the presenters who want to know. I'm not personally motivated, but I think that the scope of the event is submitted for GPSA and who you represent. That's why they're going for grad special association. What I think about that is we could do another next semester where I'm going to have to do it next year. I just don't want to take the scope of the GPSA. But I do see that as a way it definitely needs to be addressed, especially in some of the areas around.
Anything else for open forum? More transparency between the shared governance bodies who are trying to help with these decisions and the people who actually make the decisions. Okay.
I personally felt like I got light and because I was collecting a lot of information and I was like, wait, what? This just happened? So that was
okay.
One. And then just to make sure that there wasn't just, and I could think about housing, think about, I think we said, so that we're supposed to be involved in making the decision. Like, be aware that a decision is being made.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be helpful if the people whose job is to try to help with those solutions, know that the solution that they have.
Okay. I definitely agree that is an issue that is, there's many issues in which that comes up where we are, you know, asked to have a say, and then some different group that we have no idea even exists winds up making real decisions, and is an issue that we are still working on ways on how we can improve, you know, make our voices more well heard, so to speak, Yes. Jesse?
I'm kind of piggybacking off that sort of more general kind of concern that NVIDIA that you think about moving forward. I know Richard, you mentioned something confusing about transparency. We're talking about like with being in the loop on something. I think the point also recognized that not everyone within a given loop is operating on the same levels in that loop, and that oftentimes decisions are made, not being a specific decision, but oftentimes decisions will be made that seem to be under the purview and interest of parties that are not part of the discussion. The biggest example, of course, being the differences in RA and DA rates that happened last year, right? That was a decision that was made that seemed to be the kind of decision that graduates used to be interested in having a conversation about that was made, right? So when we're talking about being in the loop, that's a conversation both about making sure communities are communicating with each other and that information is being shared, and it's also about how to operate as a GPSA, understanding that not everybody within a given loop is operating on the same level. So how we navigate that going forward, I think, will be really important, whether it means wording certain initiatives or different things like that is something to consider moving forward. I think this transparency issue is important on a lot of different levels. It's something that can be talking about and making it up.
Sure.
Move
to adjourn. All right, just a second. Then we are adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.